try and cover today. So with your permission, let's start these proceedings. And I'd like, as item number one, to know whether there are any corrections to the minutes which have been mailed to you.
Well, there were a couple of typos. Did we get those?
Yeah.
And was that mailed?
I would point out one error to you, which was caught after the minutes were mailed to you, and they're now in the copy that I have in front of me, and I assume that you have in front of you or available to you. Page, I believe it's 4 of the minutes, covers the resolution by Mr. Crosby. Reading in part, it's a finding of the commission that the state's government's fiscal year 1977, 40% of total public sector support for nonprofit arts organizations will come from local organizations, etc. That resolution was in fact voted on by a vote of 13 yes, 1 no. Mr. Duff opposed. That line of and vote of the motion was 13 yes, 1 no. Mr. Duff opposed. Did not appear in your copy, and it is in the final copy. With that correction, I believe the minutes are correct. There may be a couple of typographical errors. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes, other than the one as noted? If not, can I have a resolution approving them?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next, I propose that we move directly into a discussion of the major findings and recommendations. I would like to add sort of one caveat. We have not yet produced all of the findings and recommendations which we hope that this commission is going to consider as a body. Specifically, we are almost done with, and you have picked up today, this long sheet, Total Income for Nonprofits Organizations. The study of the nonprofit organizations. Did not finish it?
What? That was not? Yeah. That's what I said. This on the table. Yes, that was not. Okay.
We do not have that section of the report ready yet for your formal review, let alone the decision of whether there are any recommendations on that or not. A function of that table, of that section, will also be the so-called earned income section of the report, and that is not completed yet. We hopefully will have that done with the primary arts organization section within the week, and we will mail it to you, and if we have recommendations, they will be mailed to you also well in advance of the what is tentatively scheduled to be the last meeting of the commission, the 15th of November. In addition, and very importantly, because as it was mentioned to me by several commissioners who contacted me in the last few days, the report does not at the moment include the section on education. Jimmy has had to delay that in getting some of the other material prepared, as has Linda. We hope, they hope, that very quickly and hopefully several days in advance of the 15th meeting, that section will be done and the material sent to you together with any proposed recommendations. My understanding, and Linda and Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we will be making a number of findings and just on the data produced, but we don't expect to have to bring to you any major policy recommendations or changes, and therefore you can be comfortable with the fact that that is coming at the very tail end of the work. That was an internal decision that we made simply to handle the workload. But the report will in fact include those sections, and that is the material here does not encompass those subject matters. With that, can we go directly into a discussion of the findings and recommendations which have been sent out to you. And I think for probably just coherency. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add one more thing, that I will be mailing out the rest of the private sector reports this week. I'm still waiting for a few more printouts and control data to write up the foundation section. But the sections you got today, which include private sector giving through individuals and corporations, is fairly complete. It's getting a little more, but you'll be getting that in the mail.
Yes, and I will add, because one of the commissioners asked me about that point, that we do not have any findings and or specifically recommendations with regard to foundations and corporations. That is a function of the fact that that material has just been finished, and we hopefully will have something in that for you, which will be inserted the appropriate section of the final report. With all those caveats, back to the text. I think to be coherent, I would prefer going through them one at a time and reviewing them to see if there's any major concerns, language we've not included, concepts that we are omitting, etc. Finding number one, attendance at arts events. I have one suggestion from one commissioner, which is with paragraph B, during the same 12-month period, over two-fifths of Minnesota residents attended three or more types of arts events, e.g. ballet, symphony, museums. The suggestion is that the word be concerts, which is more of a of the effect.
That was the category, actually, though, and that was why I took that off there. That was the category when they were asked, but that's... It could, yeah. Maybe a symphony concert, then.
Anne.
With regard to that 72%, I'd like to see some language that at least clarifies what an arts or cultural event is. That
Anne.
Figure yeah. seems just way too high.
There's a whole section in there that you should have been mailed us probably so long ago, 2 months ago, on the evaluation that explains the 72% figure. All these findings will also have references to the pages on which the backup appears.
Okay, but I think it's mixing, you know, when it says arts events here and then there's a finding.
It is pretty much arts events, though. It's not historical societies. And it's an art or cultural event. It was a little broader. Then it's narrower than Lou Harris survey. What he takes as being an arts event, but it is fairly much an arts event.
I think it's just a question of the format it might eventually come out in. That is, if you really have to chase after what the arts events here is, it might dilute. People just not believe it, because I've mentioned this figure to a number of people. Would you believe that? And
yeah.
the response is no, if you're talking about certain areas, they just can't understand. So I think it is important that somewhere very close to this, by footnote.
Okay.
Are we intending to footnote the findings and recommendations?
Well, I was going to, actually, no, I was intending to refer them to the overview page, which you explain it.
Sure.
We can do it a couple of
There are 11 events, and you could just list them.
I can list them in a footnote there. That's no problem.
I didn't want to remain.
No, that's fine. That's a good issue. Yeah, Steve.
Linda, the word event might be misleading as related to exhibitions, because an event in most people's minds sounds like performance. I wonder whether you might want to clarify that right here or very close to it.
Okay.
Remember, the fine line we're trying to tread is to keep the findings and recommendations themselves as short and terse but fully descriptive as possible. On the theory that most people are not going to find their way through all the sections in a detailed analysis of it. On the other hand, it should be quite clear so there's no inaccuracy, and if necessary, a footnote or a parenthesis without unduly cluttering it, I think, would be helpful. And here's one case so we can do it.
Is 72% a figure which is going to help the case of this commission, though? If I looked at 72%, I'd say, well, why do they need, you know, if there's this kind of support from the population, why on earth do they need additional public funding? And presumably, if there is this kind of support from 72% of the population, what do we
Well, I think
about?
The point is that it's attendance and not support. And I my understanding of the intent of the first three sections is to provide a background or a case for public arts support, not public arts support, but arts support in Minnesota generally, that in fact there are an awful lot of people who use them. And not only a lot of people that use them, but there are a large number of people who feel sufficiently strongly about them that they contribute their time to support them. And not only that, but that a large number of Minnesotans would support tax support for it.
There's a chapter that went out.
I think it's a case-building type.
Right. About a month ago, called The Citizen's Case for the Arts, which had differentiated people going to events and then how much they actually gave financial support to.
Any further comments or suggestions with finding one? Finding two has been slightly revised from the original draft sent out to you.
It's in today's draft, too.
It's in today's
draft.
It was
passed out here.
The opening line should be of the more than 25,000 people, 25,000 being a rough number. Instead, the original language is said of the 25,000 people.
What should read?
Of the more than 25,000 people.
And are you talking about administrators only?
No, of the more than 25,000 people working for arts organizations in 1975, 24,110 were volunteers. Working for arts organizations includes administrators, artists, board of directors.
Yeah, I would submit that it should be, you know, more like more than 27,000 or something.
Well, it turns out to be 25,400 and some odd.
The what we've tried to do is stay as close to possible as to the questionnaires that have been sent out and returned, knowing that they're, in some instances, those questionnaires may be estimates, but at least to the extent we're called on to testify specifically, how do we know they're 25,000? The only thing we can say, but we can say definitively, the questionnaires we sent out to all the arts organizations in the state, of the X number that returned them, the figures they reported were Y and the total was Z. And that's how we got there. We've tried to stay as close as possible to hard figures in the entire report because the whole arts area, as all of you know, is so subjective and subject to criticism quite frequently, the fact that you can't pin down anything. So we've tried at least to rely on the data given us.
At the time this was written too, and I was working off Mary Ellen's marginals, and there I think it was 25,040 people. It was not, I don't think 400, it was just slightly over 25,000. So we're, Jimmy's doing another check on this. We'll get a little closer to the number. It's organic.
Further comments on finding two? Steve.
I think the word volunteer maybe may benefit by some clarification, because most people think of the word volunteer as a sort of an auxiliary person as opposed to an actual participant. We might want to clarify this word by saying including artistic
lay and professional or
personnel, because you've got theaters all over the state, community orchestras, choruses, who among the people who are in those are among this 25,000 people.
Would you be satisfied with the phrase both artistic and administrative after the words volunteers?
That would do it?
Right. Okay. Are there any other suggestions? Finding two. Finding three. My suggestion on our procedure is to pick up corrections or changes in these at a section of time, and then vote on them as a block where they are relevant. I think this first page is a group. Finding three. I have a question for clarification from Mr. Dayton with regard to this. Is the figure in 1975 individuals contributed $3,551,414 to arts organizations, is that exclusively individuals as defined as a group separate from corporations and foundations?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's to both capital and not capital.
Yeah. His suggestion was that we clarify that, and then logically, in his mind at least, there should be a companion section or two as to foundation support and to corporation support in tandem.
I think there is in the private sector section.
Following here.
At any rate, his suggestion, I think we should incorporate it, that exclusive of foundation and corporate support. Are there any other suggestions as to finding three? If not, could I have a motion approving findings 1, 2, and 3?
So make it.
Second by Dr. Blecker.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Page 2, nonprofits, arts organizations, finding 4, concentration of arts activities.
Cities, metro, the 7 counties, doggone near half the state population.
I think it's 48%.
48%?
48%. I see. I should have that be slightly less than half. I think that was the original intention. We've revised it so many times.
Yeah, should we specify 48% of the state?
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost half.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to say that I agree with Mr. Duff. I had that same that same thought. I always say, in talking about the state, that about half the people in the state live in the metropolitan area.
Should we make this a revision to with 48% of the state's population?
48%.
Yeah, I like that as a matter of being precise in any case. Any further discussion of finding 4?
I'm going to be making notes of these.
Do
you have
any
other
ones? Do we have years to tell what percentage of the volunteers are involved in Twin Cities area organizations?
We will.
Jimmy will in his in that whole nonprofit arts organization.
I know how many organizations now, but I don't know quite the number, exact number.
The geographic breakdown.
No.
That
might couple
be
days.
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be a major finding, but it'd be in the report.
I think the question goes to while the dollar volume tends to be heavily Twin Cities area. The tilt goes a long way to correcting itself if you include volunteer hours. And I think what we might want to do is just see if there is any possible breakdown on volunteer hours.
It's going to be really difficult.
Just
wasn't, one of the crosstabs run, so I'm doing it by hand.
Oh, well,
so
we can't pull it. We can't pull it.
I am getting to that.
Any further comment on finding 4? Finding 5.
Which one of the 5 outstate located organizations?
What, Duluth? Fargo-Moorhead? Rochester Arts Center. SMOC would be one, wouldn't it? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It's
SMOC's expenditures, although its income was over $75,000 in expenditures, less than the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra, the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, Rochester Arts Center, Rochester Civic Music, I believe, and one other one, and I'll have to think a minute.
Wasn't the Depot?
No, the Depot, in fact. The Plains Art Museum, I think, it might be one of them.
I think it is.
Would it be helpful to identify the five largest by footnote?
Yes.
Might be. We're not doing that throughout the rest of the report.
My reason for doing so here is that I think the general assumption is all the major arts organizations are in the Twin Cities region.
Right.
The fact that five major of the 21 are not,
mm-hmm.
I think, is of interest. And then the next question is, what are they?
Sorry. I'd like to change this.
Jimmy.
Yes. I'd like to actually the 21 and the 92.8% figure, there are actually 25 organizations that spend more than $75,000, and their expenditures are somewhat larger than that, and I'll find it in a minute. Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
All right, we'll come back to that. We're talking about correcting the percentages and the total expenditures. Finding 6 is deficits, and finding 7 is the percentages used for support of performance exhibit activities. Are there corrections or suggestions on that?
Finding 6 is a nice snappy one. How about saying what the two organizations are?
Suppose we're naming the outstate ones. We should.
I think that's reasonable.
Should we note also that they balance?
I thought we had a confidentiality understanding.
We do
some of this stuff.
Do we have a confidentiality as to that particular item?
Well, I don't know, but I thought we had it generally with respect.
We do have. You're absolutely correct as to details of the financing of the organizations that was given to us in confidence. The fact that those two organizations ran a deficit was, I think, well publicized. In the press in the last year.
The fact that these two organizations run deficits is also available through their annual reports, and you would know that from their annual reports you could report how much their deficits were. However, the fact that it's 88.2% of the total deficits would include, to a certain extent, revealing the fact that most other organizations broke even or ran surpluses. But I suppose that it is possible to list the names of the two organizations, although I think it's slightly unfair. They did run deficits, by the way, in 1976.
That's the other point.
So it should be included, I think.
They are not in 76. They were in 75, which was the test year on this particular point in the survey.
Is that what you want to say, Stephen? Yeah, so
I think it's extremely important to clarify that.
Right.
Because it changes the whole state of mind of the reader. Clarify that.
Should we then, the question is, should we identify them as to year 1975 and then point out this is not the case for fiscal year 1976?
Well, then you're throwing off your whole finding. I mean, you're kind of giving a distorted impression of the whole finding of it. It's totally different in 76.
Well, I think that the 75 figure throws off the finding, because as I understand it, both those organizations, the deficits from 75 were related in some part to the capital expenditures that they were just concluding at that time. Isn't that correct? Those are, my understanding was those were relatively self-sufficient organizations and they went about pretty big going. The 75 figures don't really reflect the normal state of affairs. Just to read it just like this, and I think the names of the organizations ought to be there. If you read like this, you would conclude that there's two organizations that are constantly going in debt and draining out all this money, and that's not really accurate. If was just, I think that was a relatively one-shot or a two-year shot deal.
That's not, I guess I disagree slightly in the case of one of the organizations. It's the deficit that it ran that would have been made its total deficit larger that was based on capital was covered by reducing its total endowment account to the extent that it was necessary to cover this capital item. And that's not even, that as a capital item is not run through the operating account at all. So that its capital expenditure to cover that part of the deficit is not included in its total deficit. This represents simply an operating deficit. In the case of the other organization, it might be true that the transfers from building fund accounts to the operating account was not sufficient to cover the entire building fund deficit.
I guess what I'm concerned about with this particular finding is that there has been substantial publicity on the fact that several arts organizations had been or were running deficits. In fact, that was one of the points that led to the creation of the commission in the first place. And this was a fact of life in 1975 when the commission was put together, and 1975 is one of our major years in analyzing the finances. Now, it is also true that those two organizations have produced balanced budgets, whatever the proper term is, for the fiscal year ending 1976, either by a reduction in programs, increases in income, or whatever, which may or may not be a permanent phenomenon, but it is a fact this year. I think in some fashion we've got to reconcile those two facts.
What were the deficits in 1976? We don't know yet, do we?
We don't know for the whole entire system. Yeah. There's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
In fact, they might have balanced their budgets by causing deficits in other organizations because the private money was shifted to other organizations. It's hard to say.
How much, if any, of your $1.9 million shortfall was predicated upon the 1975 deficit?
Not a significant amount, given the way the system is set up. Because of a $1.6 million deficit, 8% of it would run through the state account. It would be down to about 8% of that total deficit, which is only $100,000 of the 1.9.
The other alternative would be just to eliminate that two organizations accounting for 88.2% of these deficits.
Which sort of gives you a misleading finding, yeah. Because that's $1,400,000 of $1,600,000, which means that there's only $200,000. In the section where we talk about this, in fact, it talks about the 51 organizations running a deficit, 133 organizations running surpluses, and the 14 breaking even. And it talks about the fact that the 133 that ran surpluses ran several hundred thousand dollars worth of surpluses. But the fact that $1,600,000 deficit is in two organizations is, to say it any differently, I think slightly misleading. I mean, 51, the other 49 organizations ran $200,000 worth of deficit, and only a few of those deficits were very large compared to their total budget.
What if we were to make the statement, in 1975, 51 arts organizations ran deficits approximately $1.6 million. Two organizations, parenthesis by name, closed parenthesis, accounted for 88.2% of these deficits, period. The commission does not believe that this pattern will be repeated in 1976, or this concentration will be repeated in 1976.
That's sort of mixing a finding with a belief, I guess.
Yeah.
It's my own.
We can point out the fact that the two organizations in 1976 didn't run deficits.
I would rather
jump
out. Right. Footnote. Yeah.
Is that acceptable? The suggestion is that we identify the two, and then we footnote with the statement that these two organizations did not run a deficit for the year 1976, because those books are closed.
Mm-hmm.
Finding then that is it really kind of an honest finding is what I'm getting at.
let me say this then. If I went to the annual reports of the two organizations, and looked at them from 1971 to 1975, I know that I would find that they ran deficits through that whole entire period. But in 1976, they significantly cut back on programs, I believe, not to run deficits in 76. I think I could find that also by going to the organizations. I could expand that section talking about deficits to say that in 1976, these two organizations, in fact, did not run deficits, and this is how they avoided it. And to that extent, I think it is a fair finding because it shows that they had to cut back programs in order not to accumulate any further deficits. It is a fair finding in that sense.
I think it is a little more complex. I know that's the case with one organization that did result in cutting back programs. It also, that organization and the other organization both had significantly increased annual giving and fundraising with regard to the other organization in a number of other areas, which produced much more money than had been in those particular accounts the year before. Each of them had a significantly increased annual giving drive for that year.
Would it be proper to have this reworded and this particular finding approve at the next meeting rather than
spending more time on it?
Sure.
All right.
Have that reworded.
There's really no way to say it.
I don't think I'd be prepared now to just vote on it with a bunch of little words here and there. Maybe you had a chance to see something on paper.
Because if you're going to reword it, would you substitute which total for
is the consensus commission, while we're approving this in concept, we are going to see final language on this and formally approve this later, the next meeting. I have no objection to that course of action. As to finding 7, the question I had asked me by a commissioner was with reference to the sentence which reads, primary program salaries, cost of employing artists attached to these organizations, accounted for 29.4% of all expenditures. 4% was spent for guest artistic personnel. The question was, is primary program salaries and the cost of employing artists only 29%? That seemed like a very low figure.
It's only 29% of all expenditures, yes. If you look at salaries and personnel costs, they break down into administrative costs, primary program costs, auxiliary program costs, auxiliary being things like teachers and librarians, facilities salaries costs, which are maintenance people, guards, and the like, then fringe benefits and payroll taxes, but those are very small items.
I think to the uninitiated, that's going to be a very difficult concept because it doesn't tell much of a story.
I agree.
The rest of it is.
That's exactly what I thought, because I'm one of the uninitiated, and the whole thing didn't mean much to me.
Okay.
And I wondered why it's here at all.
The reason it's here is that when you go into the nonprofits section of the report, you'll find that 45% figure is the important figure. 45% of all expenditures go directly to support productions or performances. Whereas if you look at things like educational institutions, which this study will say when we get to it, and you take department budgets, which include all faculty and staff salaries in departments and departmental supplies and materials across the institution, it's only something like 20 or 25% of their total expenditures go directly to support their instructional program.
The key sentence seems to be the first, and it seems to be established.
Right,
45%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
correct.
I just had a question. What does it mean to say 45% of the money goes for direct support performances of the activities? I don't understand.
I think the concept is that of the money that goes into the arts organization, that much is directly there an end product. That's the cost of a concert. That's the cost of an exhibition.
Well, I mean, but then you also have
of a show.
Employing the artists attached. For example, let's take the Minnesota Orchestra. The 29.4% is the salaries of the members of the orchestra. Is that correct?
In the case of individual organizations, it's probably the orchestra.
Well, let's just take the orchestra as an example, because that's something that you was performing, right?
Right.
So 29% of, if these figures were true of an individual organization,
right.
Say the orchestra,
right.
then 29.4% of the money would go to pay the musicians' salaries, mm-hmm. and 45% would go to pay what? The cost of maintaining the hall?
No, 45% is the sum of 29.4, 4.9, and 10.7. That, those three items make up direct costs.
All right. I think the answer is that if we have agreement, drop the second sentence, and that material should be in a parenthesis or a footnote, which is a, indicates quite clearly it's a breakdown of the 45%.
Still, wouldn't that, if an uninitiated person reads that first sentence, won't he think, where in hell is all this 55% going?
Yeah, that was exactly my thought too. What is the answer to that question? 55% is going to the...
55% goes either to administration, to maintain facilities, taxes, admissions taxes and the like, and then several other small items like royalties and guards and the like. But the nonprofit report section will have, here's primary program cost at 45%, here's administrative, and they'll be put together much the same way, three categories that are administrative. Here's what it costs to maintain the facilities, which isn't very much. It's like not more than 10% of the total expenditures go to maintain these facilities. Perhaps what you need is a sentence saying that these explaining what direct means, that there are the other 55% are indirect costs.
When you say
of these organizations,
Jimmy, the 10% goes to maintain the facilities.
Right.
That's the 10.7 figure here.
No, that's on the 50. The 29.4, the 4.9, and the 10.7, all that up to 45%. The 10% would be in the 55% figure, and that would be facilities maintenance, facilities supplies and materials, heat, light, and power. Rent, those kinds of items, insurance on the facility, those items would go into the cost of the facilities. And I don't think it exceeds 10%, although I haven't added it up.
Steve.
Two comments. I think this is the first of a number of examples where we are tracked by the statistical approach that we've been taking. We're dealing with an aggregated system, total system, which doesn't recognize the profound differences between performing arts organizations and visual arts organizations. A museum's costs are much higher percentage in facility, and a performing organization much higher percentage cost in artists. The two can be justified on their own merits, but to aggregate them in a total economic study provides tremendously misleading information.
You got right to the point I was going to suggest, and there's an excellent lead-in. What I was going to propose was that we add as a second sentence the difference in performing arts organizations and where that other money went, and visual arts, primarily museums, and how that is largely a facilities item.
Steve, I just question whether this finding, reading the recommendations that follow, whether this finding really is fairly relevant to the recommendations which follow. It's information which may or may not be interesting, but doesn't really relate a lot to the findings. I mean, to the recommendations.
That's exactly what I think. I don't think this is such significant information that it belongs here at all. Right?
Fine, we can ask that out.
All right.
I agree.
Linda, you're the editor. That's agreeable
that's
with
fine.
You.
That's fine.
The premise of all these findings is that they're important only to the recommendations in this section. The detailed information is in a section, and you have plenty of room to explain the qualifications there.
Yeah.
Is there any objection then to deleting finding number 7 with the assumption that that material will be covered in the text? All right, I assume we have a consensus for that. All right. With reference to the findings on page 2, finding 4, 5, 6, and 7, 7 we're deleting, 6 we are rewording, and will be resubmitted to the commission. Findings 4 and 5, are you ready to vote on that? I have a motion approving.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Page 3 of first recommendation. This represents the conclusion of the last commission meeting regarding, actually as detailed later on, the maximum amount of state monies that will be a part of the system support, and uses that as a reference point that the state monies, to the extent they are available, ought to be funneled through a statewide plan. Steve, is the language of the regarding the statewide plan comfortable to the state arts board? I realize they have not formally considered this, but in terms of your staff and administration.
The board hasn't really, the board as a matter of fact has not seen any of the drafts as yet. I have one other comment about the fact that we are somewhat trapped by the statistical approach here, in that the base for the statistical base for some of this language is a survey of arts organizations. And there's a lot more activity in the state than just arts organizations. There's a lot more organizations which are dealing with the arts. When percentages of income of the system are suggested as a maximum for state involvement, state tax base involvement, we're dealing with a percentage of not the whole when you're dealing with the amount of money that's being expended on the arts in the state of Minnesota. You refer to the ancillary arts agencies, for example, as those agencies which are constituted for another purpose other than delivering arts resources, but are, as a matter of fact, a very vital part of the system. And I think we get sort of confused here. And I'm troubled by taking a percentage of something that is not the whole universe.
How would you establish the base?
I don't know. I mean, we've been at it for a year, and we've only established part of the base. I think the error was 12 months ago in deciding what the base would be for the statistical projections.
I think we address that problem. First, in this instance, it's 20% of total income of all arts organizations, and that's term of art to this report. It means a primary arts organization. And in our finding, which gets to determining dollar amounts, it's very carefully qualified to refer only to arts organizations with the caveat that we are recommending specifically major funding in the area of other organizations, user organizations, community organizations, etc. So I think, and I would have no problem in defending that qualification and explain that qualification to a legislative committee, that for purposes of trying to analyze the state's role, the purpose of this statement is to indicate that the dollars the state is going to be applying and affecting an individual primary arts organization is small, and that there is all the more reason that we try to be systematic and long-range statewide planning in directing that money. And it is not to say that the total money is 20% of X, because that clearly is not the case. We don't have the data to indicate the full range of the organizations. We only have data on the primary arts organizations. And we specifically address the point that the role of the State Arts Board is to be broader than just the primary arts organizations in the later section, which is when we get down to recommendations on funding, and it's recommendation 3.
Well, that qualification doesn't come early enough then, Steve. I think it should be very, very much up front, because people begin to focus in on these figures. And we are talking, we're using the word system-wide. I think we're going to get caught by the ambiguity of that word, system-wide. That the system is not the whole apple. I think we have to make sure that the reader knows that far up front. I think of all the educational organizations around the state of Minnesota that are the primary vehicle for delivery of art services that don't figure in this statistical universe.
I'd like to make a comment to that, which is that, yes, there are a lot of community organizations, educational organizations, hospitals, park and rec departments and the like that deliver art services, but if you look at those organizations, and we looked at some, they're mostly public organizations to begin with. And we're just talking about, in a sense, the arts organizations, which are not and haven't historically been public organizations, and talking about their role. And so the public money's already involved in organizations that deliver art services are really significant, really large amounts of dollars, like the Minneapolis Public Library, for instance, which is the biggest deliverer of art service we found that wasn't an educational institution. And there are something on the order of 20,000 organizations like that, and there is no list anywhere to find out about those organizations. And to the extent that the commission was directed, I think directed correctly to investigate nonprofit organizations. I can't see the state government being terribly concerned about that small percentage of these community organizations' monies, which is directed to the arts, when they're already funding the entire agency or organization.
Well, it's too late to rewrite the research plan, but what I'm suggesting is that you clarify so you don't mislead.
My suggestion is to answer this concern that we specify after we say total public sector funds not anticipated to exceed 20% of total income to all arts organizations in Minnesota, parenthesis or footnote, primary arts organizations, the scope of the universe is larger than just the primary organizations, but this is the scope of this particular research project. In other words, that we put in a definition at this point that the 20% of total income of primary arts organizations.
Aren't they all nonprofits?
Nonprofits.
Yeah, so why don't we just call them nonprofit arts organizations?
Yeah.
Nonprofit arts organizations.
Nonprofit arts organizations.
Further, Steve.
Could I make a recommendation to follow up one that Andy Andrews made earlier, that perhaps this one, this recommendation, be put on the revision list before it be voted on? I think this is far too profound to just rewrite it in committee. I'd like to make that in the form of a motion.
I want to ask a question. Also, Steve, are you comfortable with the fact that you can develop a state arts plan that's viable?
Yes. That, as a goal, is certainly one that is, I can support.
What is the motion?
To put this on the list to be revised before a final vote is taken.
Mr. Chairman, this is probably where I get to disagreeing with most of the rest of the commission, and I don't mind being a minority of one, and I wrote out all my kind of rationale, and Mike was good enough to duplicate it, but I just want to warn the rest of you that this kind of language appears in some circles in our state. I can just visualize that some people who are already up for their ear about regionalism are going to read here, now we're going to have a state arts plan, and there's, looking at it from where I live, over in Rochester, there's going to be a regional arts planner, and he's going to establish the methods to provide those art resources that I and Red Wing are supposed to need. Are we really proposing that we're going to have some people that we call planners who are going to be developing schemes to tell the people of the state what arts they ought to have, sort of? Is that...
David, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah, I think in the sixth line of the third, one, two, three, third paragraph, the word regional organizations probably ought to be changed to regional representatives or some other word. And I agree with Phil that in the second line down from that, regional and state planners, regardless of how much leadership or administration Steve Sell gives this, nobody's going to like the word planners doing a plan. And I think we could easily just start out with the Minnesota State Arts Board will inventory all the arts resources of the state. Because the concept of this thing is that eventually there may be regional arts organizations in the state, but for starters, it's going to be doing just what the State Arts Board is presently doing, utilizing regional task forces and or representatives of each of the regions of the state to formulate a state arts plan. And once that system is in place and starts to operate and they are able to give a little strength and a little muscle to some of the regional organizations that want it, there may be regional arts organizations. But it isn't going to happen the first time around.
Was there a second? Would you like a second so we can...
formally, or were you hoping he would withdraw the motion?
I would like to have a little more discussion, because I want to see if there are other areas that are to be reworked, or whether we're to ask the staff to concentrate on this particular question, which Steve is.
The inventory, all the arts resources. It is in the totality of the concept something that we've already discovered is rather large, and I recollect we might have to footnote how much it costs to do that. And to sustain that project on a yearly basis or whatever else, this is way too broad a statement for me to be comfortable with.
I thought we had just done that.
Well, my thought was, but it keeps changing, obviously, but that's my, the question is, does this in fact institute or provide a rationale for a permanent staff that is inventorying, and for annual questionnaires of the complexity that we managed to put together for this ad hoc occasion. If it does, I think it really needs a little more attention than we're giving it right here.
David, do you want to comment on that?
Well, Steve Flom told me 3 weeks ago this question was going to come up, and it finally came up. I guess I have found it difficult, and I don't think anybody can give you a figure on what the cost of implementing this recommendation is going to be. I think the State Arts Board has done a great job in just the last 10 months in moving in this direction at all with, or moving in this direction already with its existing complement of people. I asked Jimmy to give us, well then I should add the second thing, that I think the work that this commission has gone through has broken a lot of the ground for the how you do the inventory and a lot of things like that. I think we've simplified the process so that somebody is not going to have to reinvent the wheel in the inventory process or the assessment process. Asked Jimmy to give me some kind of a ballpark figure for what he thought the expenses would be of a biennial needs assessment, which is primarily a questionnaire process, computer-based, that sort of thing. And I think the figure I got was $30,000. Now, we sure don't conceive that every region in the state is going to need a planner. Whether or not the State Arts Board needs a person with special skills in systems analysis or something like that, I don't know the answer to that one. Perhaps one additional person would be helpful, but Steve already has on his staff a group of people that he may not call facilitators, but certainly have performed already a job of bringing people together, pulling out of them their advice on a variety of subjects, and I think they could easily do the planning process. The technical side of it, we estimate the cost may be $30,000.
Is the point of this, though, just to continue on the question of that statement, is the point of it, though, to provide a vehicle for delivering the $1,900,000? Is that what this recommendation speaks to at this point?
Yeah.
It does.
My feeling about it was that it was to provide the information necessary to understand what needs were in terms of these kind of performing events in these geographical locations, in a sense, at this cost and at what level of professionalism, so that you knew who was getting service and who needed service.
The answer to your question is yes, it's intended to provide the information on which decision making will take place in the 2 years following that. Or whenever the inventory is being made.
I think the question in my mind then is whether we simply should recommend that another agency already in existence be the vehicle, or that we're recommending a different agency and not tell that agency whom we're recommending to distribute the funds as to how they're going to do it. As part of our recommendation, it seems as if we are saying that we want the Arts Council to distribute the funds after, and we're asking that they also do an inventory.
I think what we are saying, and bear in mind that this section is elaborated in the detailed section on the delivery system in the report, there be a statewide plan and planning process and policy under which grants are made. In fact, the State Arts Board is already moving in that direction, that the plan or policy has these components in it, which I think are stated in very abbreviated form here, but the people who've worked on that have elaborated in detail what the concept behind the inventory is, the concept behind assessments, and the method of decision making, all of which is in the body of the report. So I'm not troubled by that concept, and if I understand the discussion, we're not talking about a major new administrative expense in terms of administering or developing the statewide arts plan. It basically represents, however, an evolution to grant making on the basis of a broad long-range policy or plan, which has evolved throughout the state, as opposed to grant making on an individual grant by grant ad hoc basis. Ann?
I agree. I don't think we should be saying we recommend that funds be distributed according to a plan and then go ahead and detail what that plan is. I don't think we should be interfering. I think our job is to recommend something based on what we see as a need, but I do not think that we can
set
policy
plan
for the State Arts Board. I mean, here we're saying this plan is suddenly going to emerge, and then we describe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very inconsistent.
Well, I think the part of the answer to that, and I'd like to ask Paul if he would make a comment or two, is that this represents the research work by the Commission in terms of the basic components of the plan. And I understand, at least I believe, that there's concurrence between our staff, our research, and the State Arts Board staff as to the basic elements that go into that plan.
Ray Bozzi?
I'm sorry, Ray. Ray, sorry.
We've really discussed what all the components are, but I think these certainly would be some of them. The main thing the plan's trying to do is suggest put very simply, if you're going to put more money into the arts, and we're already putting some in, how it should be spent. The regional approach is meant to say that rather than trying to decide that all in one place, that we'll use some decentralization and use citizens in various parts of the state. The fact that it's regional rather than in every community in the state is just, I think, logistically about the only way you're going to get any decentralization. I don't think it would be probably very likely you could do it any other way. So that basically is what's involved. Whether you want to do any detailing in this section, in this recommendation at all, I think it's up to you. I think one of the attempts was to say that inventory that had been done in fairly great expense, whatever you want to say, it was expensive, should be continued and maintained and used, I think is only sensible. And one does need to know what organizations they're dealing with and characteristics of them to try to determine, that's partly the way to determine what you need. So, I don't know if that helps.
Would it help clarify if we were to say the State Arts Board will continue to maintain an inventory?
You really mean all the arts resources?
Well, I want to drop the word all, and that might help.
I think you, apropos Steve's point, I think there has to be some sort of a cutoff point.
Yeah.
If we start saying that we're going to inventory and keep up the inventory of every corner drugstore that or what used to be a corner drugstore or a filling station, and somebody converts it into a studio, well, I think you've got quite a job on your hands.
Mm-hmm. Steve, isn't the sentence beginning regional and state planners, isn't that really sort of redundant and a little bit specific? And if you'd add the words arts in front of the word resources in the next sentence, it seems to me that could be eliminated and the backup material be relied on for this. without trying to be this specific.
I guess the only concern I have is to make sure that everybody understands that we're talking about a plan and not, and which is going to involve far more of a decision-making process and developing of criteria and standards than is in place to date. And it doesn't mean simply presenting a budget and saying we've got this number of dollars for this year and then dividing it up and spending it. And I think a little bit of clarification of that, I agree completely with Ann Payson's remarks. It is not the function of this commission to get into administrative decision making. It is our function only to focus on the major policy questions and leave that up to the ultimate decision makers, which are the legislature and the administrative agency concerned. I think stating what we consider to be the basic elements of a plan help clear that up and indicate it's not just a repetition of what's been historically done. And I don't mean that in any type of pejorative sense. That, as I say, that independent of this commission, there has been evolution in this direction. And what we're really doing is giving our support to seeing that go forward in the future with a major imprimatur on it of this commission. And I think that's very important. I think, if I understand correctly, there has been resistance to date, at least in the legislative and administrative branches, one or both, to the whole concept of allowing more decision in the regions. And it's clear from this commission that the consensus is that that ought to be encouraged. And I think that will help the State Arts Board in seeing that happen. So I guess my concern is to be maintain a sense of being general, but nevertheless indicate that we're talking about more than has been in place before. David?
I think that perhaps this language should be redrafted a little. I don't have any problem with what it says, but I think it could be stated a little more clearly. For example, all the talk about regionalism doesn't really mean that people were anxious to have a whole new level of planning in the state. I was on the public sector subcommittee, and that phrase of regionalism came about because the outstate members of the committee felt very strongly that in terms of a delivery system, they didn't want every decision made in the Twin Cities without them being consulted. And they said unanimously and often to those of us who were from the Twin Cities that we want some sort of ongoing consultation among the people from all over Minnesota who are going to get some dollars as to who should get them. And so I think that so far the best shorthand way of expressing that was regionalism. And I think there must be a better way, and I would hope that we can find it, because I think it's confusing. And that was just all that meant was that all the people who are directly involved in each town should have some input. Also, I would say with regard to the earlier statement that Phil made, nobody on the Public Affairs Subcommittee ever thought that there should be some planning group that decided what art should exist in what part of the state. That, if somebody made such a suggestion, I'd certainly vote against it. But it is clear that any town or village or city in Minnesota is and should have the kind of art that it wants to have. The people there are going to get together. As we've seen in one of our earlier findings, art in Minnesota is primarily financed privately and always will be. And a city or town is going to have to make the decision itself whether they're going to have an orchestra, whether they're going to have a chamber music or whatever. Once they reach that decision, they'll make that from town A and town B and town C. Then, assuming that there is some state money that's going to go to help that, that money isn't going to tell any town what to do. It's going to look at all the things that have been decided by the specific individuals in each of their towns and try and allocate it fairly among them. And the only point of this regionalism was that the people in that part of the state who have these different kinds of institutions that they themselves have set up should themselves have the should have a major share in deciding how the state money gets allocated. And that's all that means, and I think it might be expressed a little more clearly here.
Steve, the only problem I have is that most of this language, at least the part I wrote, I think the second part of the recommendation, really came out of David's memorandum, which has already been adopted by the commission.
So what's wrong with changing that?
No, I'm just saying that.
Well, I guess.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Linda.
Motion.
Yeah. I think that the consensus of the commission is that having had a chance to consider this in more detail, they would like to more tightly reword those two portions. Now, Steve, if I may, I'd like to clarify precisely what we are considering here by way of a motion. The two points that I understand that there's concern over is the sentence which includes the 20% of total income of all arts organizations in Minnesota, for one, and secondly, the material starting regional state planners under the leadership administration of the State Arts Board will inventory arts resources in the state, assess the needs of existing arts resources, and establish the methods to provide those resources needed by Minnesota citizens.
Can I add just one other concern? The very first paragraph suggests only two priorities: the support of existing nonprofit arts institutions and the development of arts resources which are more readily available to out-state residents. I think the concept of development of arts resources indicates an absence of something which may be misleading. There are arts resources, but they may not be distributed as well as they might. You may want to add something about to develop more access to existing resources, and then the development of arts resources, because there certainly we could use more resources.
Well, I guess it's a semantic problem, but I see development as being something that could apply to something that's already there, and perhaps bringing it to a higher state. It's not creation.
But I think Steve's point is that there's a slight tilt, at least it is capable of being interpreted as a tilt, to existing primary nonprofit arts organizations, which was the primary thrust of this commission report. The commission has agreed, as a matter of basic policy, that the scope of the charge is considerably broader, and I think the comment is well taken that we should make that clear in the recommendation. And I think there probably are two points, the one in the first sentence and the one in the second sentence, to do that. And I think we can discuss that, and perhaps, Steve, you will be able to give us some assistance on some of that language. There is a... David.
I just want to say that I hope that the minutes will show that whoever prepared this language was acting in perfect accord with everything that we've done until now. This is a very accurate reflection of everything that we voted and agreed on, and I'm all for it. But not everyone has had the benefit, if that's what it is, of having sat through all of these meetings and subcommittee meetings. And this is, after all, a document for people who are coming in cold, and I'm not certain that what is clear to those of us who have been through that process is going to be clear to the general reader, and that's the reason that I would support a motion to revise it. But right. What it says is correct, and I don't think the substance should be changed in the rewriting.
With that, that is a gloss on the on the motion. The substance is not to change, but we are to clarify. Does that gloss meet with the proposer of the motion, the second of the motion? It does.
Well, I guess I don't know what it means in relation to what it appears to say and what both Mr. Duff and Mr. Lebedoff have commented upon. I think there's a distinct difference between supporting things that are already in existence or expanding them and telling somebody in a local community that you're going to do this, and I'm not sure now where this thing sits.
Well, my understanding is that we're not going to tell anybody that you're going to do this. Isn't that correct?
Not the way I read it.
Well, my assumption is we are taking out the words regional and state planners under the leadership administration of. That in some fashion the sentence is going to start out with Minnesota State Arts Board, and then the question is, does it include things such as will inventory arts resources in the state, assess needs and establish methods of providing these resources needed. And that does not address the question of how much is statewide planning and how much is local authority and grant making.
Well, I would like to reaffirm that I think it's one thing in our backup statement indicates how we suppose some of this will be done. It is another thing for us to make that as a integral part of a recommendation in response to our particular charge. I don't know that that would be advisable. I certainly do not feel inclined to make it a part of what I would approve as a formal recommendation. I think the crucial question that we face here is recommending a level of public support and a vehicle for its distribution. What further guidelines might be imposed certainly could be something to which we might address ourselves, but not in the form of a formal recommendation, nor with any implications for the sake of the hearing that we want. So that we are glued in with a particular point of view that might in and of itself require further study, et cetera, et cetera. I feel the crucial question we should address is helping support the arts through a very reasoned way of distributing the money. I think in a recommendation we ought not to try and
forget the details,
fuzz it up at all. Because I think our charge is to make such a recommendation and not to come along with clauses which tie us very closely with a very specific sorts of delivery systems or implications that might be very specific to some, but really are not what we had in mind. I think that's an issue that the Arts Council and others should feel. But in our fuller statement of what we've done and what we've discovered, I see no harm to say that we believe this may be implied. This inventory may be necessary. But as a substantive part, that's why if the motion is to leave as a substantive part of our rewriting this business about what the State Arts Board will do and won't do, I am not in favor of the motion. But I didn't quite understand that we really what to consider the substantive part of the motion.
I understand Dr. Blecker's suggestion to be that the first part of the recommendation is that the funds are going to be necessarily small, and therefore we are well advised to use them as carefully as possible in a directed way where they're going to have a maximum impact. The second part of the resolution, therefore, will be a recommendation of a systematic statewide planning process, statewide plan, but not to get into the details of that plan in the text of the formal recommendation. We can make suggestions as to parts of that, possibly in the more detailed text of the report itself, but not in the formal finding section.
Steve, I would think that the way to do it would be maybe just use the first paragraph and then go to the last page and say how the funds would be distributed through those things according to the state arts plan.
Well, I'd rather not get into details of how we put it together.
I
don't think I agree with you, Dr. Becker, because it seems to me, first of all, I'm sure that Phil is voicing something that is very real in terms of the desire of the outer regions of the state to have a very substantial voice in what happens. And that unless you make that explicit here, there's no question how it's going to be read. It's going to be read that the control is at the center. And now it may decide to devolve this center may decide to devolve some of this control out of compassion or good political judgment farther out in the state, but it's not really part of the recommendation, and I think it should be.
Mr. Bean, with all due respect, I think that is covered on the next page. at the top of the paragraph, which discuss, which is a continuation of this section, which specifically states that the money is, this is a decentralized decision-making process.
But are you not suggesting that in effect be eliminated?
Oh, no. I like what David and Steve said earlier, that this is going to be a process which is not forcing on people what they do not want, or taking away from some what they already have, but rather a way in which a sensible distribution can be made. There have to be criteria. And if we want to take your concern into account, this other paragraph would be, I think it's fairly sharp on that point, sharp enough, but one could say that rather than be as specific as it is, simply taking into account the need to provide access throughout the state and to develop throughout the state arts resources. And what I'm just afraid of is that we would have the legislators get no further than this document with the kinds of quarrels we've been going through now, and that would sort of leave to the staff to try and come up with anything in the end. And I would rather like to see a very clear statement about our principal point, and then further details of how the delivery seems to be in the process of being put together, and that we fit into that in our full report.
Slavidoff.
Well, I would not want to delete anything that is now in this report. I would want to clarify it. And I don't think that's inconsistent with what you're expressing. You would like, if I understand you correctly, the general concept of access to decision making by those affected to be incorporated. That is correct. But I think that we have to do so with a little more specificity than simply using the word access, or else the principle will fall. And if it could be expressed only that generally, I had before, but I don't think it can be. I think that some sort of suggestion, such as is included here, has got to be included. Otherwise, we'll find that there will be no grassroots inputs at all. And I'd rather keep our present language and try and refine it than play with that danger. Also, I think we would deserve the rural members of the public sector committee who went along with the concept that some institutions which are located in the Twin Cities represent statewide art resources. And they went along with that because some of us agreed that there should be regional input. And to start tampering with that language now, I think, would be fatal. I guess my only point is that the whole concept of regional input did not mean an imposition of priorities from above, and then input from the grassroots. And I think we've just got to state that so that it's very clear, and I don't think we'll have a problem.
It isn't.
It is not very clear. No, it doesn't do that. Exactly. I couldn't agree more, and that's why I'm going to support the motion to get it read.
My understanding of the motion, so that we have some agreement on this, and I submit this to Mr. Sell, as I think we've...
Did I make a motion?
Lots of flaws to this. The rewriting will focus on the following points. One, that the charge or state policy is broadened from that and set forth in the first sentence, specifically making reference to the fact of user organizations, other organizations, community organizations, which we want to see more heavily funded, and there's already authorization to the State Arts Board to operate in that area, but that this be an area where there can be tremendous expansion, utilization of the existing system by far more people if major money is made available. Number two, that we're talking about the fact that total public dollars are going to be necessarily a small percentage of the money that is actually used by primary arts organizations alone. And we're talking about a broader concept than that. but that the total public dollars are going to be small, necessarily, always, to the total dollars available. And for that reason, we recommend point three, that there be part of a, that the grant making be done as part of a statewide planning process, which will permit a focusing of those dollars to the greatest long-range benefit to the community. And we include that the specific references to local decision-making, which are set forth particularly on the last paragraph of the current draft. Now, do I understand that to be a fair summation of the discussion? Do we have a rough approximation of that in the form now of the resolution? As a motion?
Pastor, I just want to say to Mr. Bean and the names of other members, in a sense, don't pay much attention to me.
I always pay attention.
No, no, what I mean by that is that I'm against the whole concept of having a bundle of money here in St. Paul that we're going to distribute all around the state. But if you're going to have that concept and pursue it, you have to have some some method of doing it,
clearly. And I think what the chairman has summarized would be an improvement over the language that's stated here.
Right. Mr. Duff is on record of disagreeing with the concept, but if the concept is approved, that this is an improved method of doing it. All right, that motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Major reworking of page 3. We're on page 4, findings 8 and 9. Assume that findings 5 and 6 are relatively non-controversial. They, in essence, they're saying that while there's been a large growth, the growth appears to be inflation-related, that the real growth is slowing down dramatically and will continue to slow down in the years to come. Now that's as a total system basis, total dollars basis. That's not as to individual organizations within it. And it reflects the size, relative size of major organizations versus everybody else. The second is the impact of inflation and why it's so serious. Are there any corrections to 5 and 6, which are findings 8 and 9?
I'd like to add by 1984 to the side. Yeah. After income, I'd like to add that by 1984. The very, very last line of that page.
Where is this?
Even
that's missing. I did not proof this, but that was missing.
By 1984.
Right.
Are there further comments, Dr.?
I just have one question. The last sentence of finding 8 from 1975 to 84, the 23%, is that consistent with the half-life model?
Yes.
It is.
right? It's 12.5, and then it's 6.25, and then it's 3.125, et cetera, out up to 1984. But if you add those up, they don't add up quite to 23%. But the difference is that the 6.75 is also 6.75% of the growth, the 12.5% growth in the period before. So yes, it is consistent. It's not quite a sum of those three numbers, but it's just a little larger.
I forgot, what is your percentage of inflation figure that you're using, and who's it?
The inflation figures here are the Congressional Budget Office's low projection, which comes in between the Congressional Budget Office high projection and the Office of Management and Budget single projection. And the inflation rates start out at about 5.7 for that projection, and drop down to about 4% by 1984, the yearly inflation rate. That of course will be, there will be other figures, other inflation rates projected out in the text of the trend study, but this is just the major one that we've decided to focus in on.
Isn't that the matter of arithmetic? In 9 years with those compounded figures, you get 62%. Sounds hot.
Compounded, yes, you would get a 62% increase in the consumer price index.
You're sure?
I'm positive, yeah. In between 1969 and 1975, it's goes from 1 to it's like 64 or 65% in the 69-75 period, and that's fewer years than this is. So.
Well, but I'm talking about using a top rate of 5.5% and dropping off to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Your compounding isn't nearly as rapidly, and I'm just be sure of the arithmetic.
Yeah.
My second question, however, would be that whether you are really justified in using this half-life projection. The life of any voluntary organization is a function of the people who are laboring in it, and I don't think you can draw any conclusions unless you just want to say, if it happens the way it is happening, this is what's going to happen.
Well, that is the whole
completing the circle.
Let me comment on some of the evidence for that. Partly it's the evidence we have between 69 and 72 and 72 and 75, but as well we look at national figures, and the national figures seem to, and for the major organizations across the country, seem to precede ours by somewhere between 3 and 5 years. And if you look at those national figures, they seem to have a half-life, and they're at the point now where it's 12.5%. It's slightly less than 12.5%, but nevertheless it seems to fall in the general pattern. You're going to miss by a few thousand dollars one way or the other, but it seems to fall nationally into that same pattern, and they're down to the 12.5% increase now.
Bear in mind that the premise of this is the trend model, and the data in place to date for the 6-year period that we've studied as the only basis we've had to make the projection we've been asked to make. So these statements hold true today. If there are not changes made or variables that enter into the system which we're not aware of as being there today, anything can happen, including major change in state policy, federal policy, the market, and so on.
I know the structure and the kind of model, and my only question is kind of the public relations aspect of it, but I think of challenged by a legislator to say, well, just because it's been going like this for 6 years, there's no reason to, no valid reason to assume that it's going to keep going that way, because it may do that.
We're talking about the next 2 years, and this is the best estimate for the next 2 years, and if that whole inventory language finally gets adopted, then the State Arts Board ought to be able to continually advise the legislature on where it's going. I mean, we're not asking the legislature to make a decision out to 1990 based on these figures. We're simply saying that this is what it looks like currently, and the projections for next year aren't that much different than the projections for this year, since it's based on three-year periods. And that's one of the reasons I so strongly support the whole inventory aspect of it, because it's, as I see it, the only way to determine whether or not these kind of projections are correct projections for the future.
Are there any further comments on findings 8 and 9?
May I ask, does an ordinary reader know what it's meant by half-life model? All of a sudden he comes here and he reads that?
Well, hopefully the ordinary reader would have had some science and studied radioactivity and things like that, where a half-life kind of model is fairly common. No, it might be that they don't have a fair understanding of the half-life, but it's explained in more clear language later on in terms of what it means. I guarantee you that there's a fair explanation in fairly simple terms of what the half-life model is and what it means in terms of dollars. In fact, there's a little graph that starts with 8 and goes to 12 and goes to 15, et cetera, out into the future, and talks about it in very simple terms.
Was it necessary to confuse people with a term like that right at this point?
My suggestion is that we insert at that point the trend study model, which is a term of art to this report, and we'll refer them to that section where it is outlined. Then you can use
Liz's word.
All right, trend study. Any other suggestions as to findings 8 and 9? Move. We approve them. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Finding 10 and recommendation 2.
Jimmy has done a revised.
There is a revision of which
recommendation 2. Mr. Derenberger, who left the room, does not, based on our hearing on Thursday, there was some considerable difficulty with the certification of need, the certificate of need language in recommendation 2, and that language is that if an arts organization wants public money in the future, then it must come with its capital or endowment campaign to the State Arts Board before it begins it for review. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th line of the recommendation, which anticipates any significant future public financial support, was what gave people considerable trouble. Now I've changed in the certain thing that came out. Those words were stricken from the new recommendation. I've also, from the recommendation that you've already reviewed, after Minnesota State Arts Board at the bottom of this page, struck the words to determine the public necessity for such a drive and included the words for public comment on the need and design of this capital effort. On the next page, the changes between this recommendation and the ones that were circled, or was circulated, is 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line, after private voluntary support for such a drive was stricken, and then four capital campaigns which it determines are in the public interest, period. These forms of support may include colon, A, and B, et cetera. It goes on to read as it did before. And then I've added at the bottom of, in this new recommendation, a new paragraph that you can read. It starts out, in addition, the MSAB should review and comment upon these capital programs undertaken by other institutions, educational and civic, which would significantly impact on the arts facilities in the state and the monies available to support them. Now the reason, again, I think that is a fair reflection of your interest in striking the certificate of need kind of language from the whole entire recommendation. Mm-hmm. It's just another language. There's no,
no substance. Steve, I substance of regret that I've missed several meetings of this, and it may be that there's been a lot of argument about this recommendation, which I might have to revive again. I think this is a most unfortunate A finding, B recommendation. In other words, first of all, I don't believe in the major premise that the solicitation of new endowment money and so forth would seriously affect the entire art industry. I simply do not believe it. And there are enormous resources for the arts in this state and elsewhere in the country which simply are not taxed. And I've been through too many campaigns where people said you can't do it, and we've done it. And I can tell you an amusing story about Carleton College, which a number of years ago had a committee which it set up to decide what its needs were, and they came in with a need of $4.5 million. Well, the board was flabbergasted and decided it couldn't be raised, and so they sent it back to the committee again. Well, the committee came in that time with $6.5 million. Well, there was no question at all that couldn't be raised, so they sent it back again. This time I was the chairman of the committee, and we came in for $10 million. And we raised 14. Now, I just have to say that I don't think that there's any justification for saying that a campaign, such as has been run by the Guthrie and by the Walker and so forth, has adversely affected the interests and so forth of the other art organizations. I think it's stimulated them. the fact that you have gone out and interested people in the arts has actually brought forth resources that nobody ever thought were there, and the people that own them never thought of giving them to them. I think there's quite the reverse in that case. And to require that any organization, and you can name whatever you want, come before the State Arts Board and argue there that they can that they are needed and they need so much money, I think it's just going to be the dissonance.
I think the key word here is that any arts organization which anticipates any significant future public financial support probably is like I can name one example in the Twin Cities where an arts establishment was built and then they ran out of money. So then the public that had to support it or and wouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. This is a sort of a guard. This is a safeguard so that maybe St. Paul doesn't decide to build a ballet theater and they'll get enough money for it, hopefully, to establish a physical plant. And then when it came to when the ticket sales go down and they have no means of support, who's going to support it?
Well, maybe nobody will support it.
Well, then,
in other words, they.
Then
maybe
you just let it go sure. Chop it off into bags.
Well, but the people who launch these things have a responsibility for seeing to it that they work after that.
But what if they don't?
Well, if they don't, then the thing collapses. After all, if people don't want things to work, it certainly shouldn't be the job of the state government to step in and say, you people aren't willing to support it up here in St. Paul or wherever, but we'll see to it that it gets support. I don't think you want to look
at maybe there's some unforeseeable thing that maybe they have the best intention of having it work and something happens that it just...
But struggle is the very best thing there is for any organization.
Steve.
Beyond being appalled by the potential administrative implications of this recommendation, I tend to support what Atherton has said about the system. We're dealing with a system in the private sector at this point, and my feeling is that if someone proposes a solicitation for private funds, and certain private donors choose to alter their current priorities to respond to that solicitation, it's their business. And I frankly think that for the public sector to get involved in a regulatory function like this, even if it's voluntary on the part of the people developing the fund drive, I think brings a specter of government involvement in a heretofore voluntary function, which is just disastrous in my opinion.
I have some more language that I have to relay to you from other members of the commission, but I think in fairness to our own organization and the research that's gone on, that we should stress as the other side of the coin the nature of the problem that we've discovered so far and what this is an attempt to address. And the problem is, as near as we can tell, in real dollars, the private sector support has not been growing, has not been keeping pace with the growth of the system generally. Even after you assume and make the adjustments to show that all arts organizations in Minnesota are growing on a collective basis, only by an inflation factor and not in a real growth long-range trend. Even so, even having made that assumption, the next comment, the next conclusion is that private sector support has not been keeping pace with that, and that unless new dollars come into the system and significantly not only broaden the base of support, but generate significant new dollars to the system, the current dollars there are simply not enough to maintain private sector support at a 25% basis, which is an arbitrary rule of thumb, but it's saying to stay even at the level where it is now, recognizing that it's fallen off in the last few years, which it also assumes that Mr. Bean's comment earlier that the impact of capital giving will take itself out of the system because there will not be that many more capital giving programs. This addresses the question of capital giving programs in an era where there may not be that kind of funds available in greater growth. Now that's what the statistics show us to date, and I think I also bear the obligation of reporting to you that this comment, this recommendation has the support of a number of commissioners who are not present, and a number of the foundation sources who've voluntarily added their input on this within the last few days. There are clearly two sides of the coin, and I think we're going to have to try and find our way between it. They add the comment that comes from foundation sources. The concern they have is similar to this one in that they are frequently asked on an individual project-by-project basis to make commitments to a particular program, to a particular capital funding program. They do so without the knowledge and the perspective of what other programs are going to be coming on board and the relative merits and demerits between them. Now, that's not to say that we can answer that through this process. I'm merely mentioning that because that has been relayed to me and with the request that I convey it to the Commission. I also have the charge of relaying Mr. Dayton's comments to the Commission, and he shares Mr. Bean's concerns. His view is that it's very hard at the time a new idea comes on board to be able to convince a large group of its immediately of its impact and its importance to the community. And his concern is that for a new idea, it will be very hard to get the approval process. It's much easier to say no, always easier to say no. I think this was a concern of some of the other arts organizations when this idea was first tested. Mr. Dayton's comments to continue are that, for example, the group within the community that persuaded Tyrone Guthrie to come here would not necessarily have found the sanction of the State Arts Board or any other agency of citizens for that project. That there may never have been approval for the concert hall, Minnesota Orchestra Hall, for that project in the teeth of an existing series of fundraising campaigns. I believe at that point it was a Walker, at least a Walker Guthrie or a Walker fund drive for the construction of its building, the Art Institute's drive, and so on. Nevertheless, there was money generated for that project and it did succeed, and if there had been a review process, his concern is that it would not have made the test. It is his concern that if you put in the hands of one particular body the ability to determine yes or no on a project, you are adding a significant regulatory level on the whole free market process that's determined the success of these organizations. In fact, some of this has been suggested privately in the community in terms of the very largest donors, whether they're foundations, corporations, or whatever. They ought to get together and have privately some sort of internal review process, that speaking on behalf of himself and his foundations, that they have always resisted this for just this particular reason, that there ought to be far more interplay within the system. He had one further suggestion, that if there be a review process, that it be clearly a voluntary one with no negative result to an organization for refusing to participate, but with a possible positive result
that if such an organization which had gone through that could qualify for some additional type of state assistance to the drive. I have to add as a qualification to that suggestion the advice that we have had from Roger Kreiberg in the governor's office, just representing in terms of some of the political realities, that in terms of state funding for the arts, Minnesota has, with this commission, taken one big jump already, although I think that's a slight exaggeration because I think it's already there in the existing funding statute, but that this would represent a second big jump. The first big jump that Minnesota took was in agreeing to fund arts organizations on a programmatic basis. The state was buying a service. The second jump was to go from that to agreeing to help fund or subsidize or support the organizations themselves and the artists themselves and the individuals themselves, but that was a more generalized type of support than the specific program basis. As I say, he indicated that we were basically taking that step. Now, I think to be accurate, that has been done under the last two pieces of legislation that have gone through, but in terms of the quantum jump, clearly there's that, which is highly relevant to this case. He said that this would be a third step if, in fact, we recommend public support on top of those first two to an organization, group of individuals, which qualified through the review process by taking the state into the role of supporting capital fund drives, whether for a facility or for a the endowment for an organization. I think, as a qualification to that, that in fact the state on an ad hoc basis has done it on one or two occasions. Orchestra Hall, for example, does involve City of Minneapolis bonds. I think the Society of Fine Arts has City of Minneapolis or State Housing Authority bonds and or a city bonded and a city bonded parking facility and so on. But it's clearly on an ad hoc basis rather than on a basis of major public policy. Well, at any rate, I felt the responsibility of conveying to all of you those other comments from those who can't be here. Further discussion, Steve.
Steve, on the comment you got from Roger Kreiberg, was his comment just an observation of a phenomenon or was he putting a value judgment on it?
Just an observation.
I'd like to make an additional comment, if I may, Steve, apropos the idea that there might be some sort of voluntary process here. I'm against that. In other words, I think that it would be very damning to any project if you had to come before any sort of public board and then got turned down. Unless you had somebody that was willing to step up to the line and provide 50 or 60% of the campaign requirement, you'd have very great difficulties. And I don't think it serves any purpose. Take what has gone on in the Twin Cities in the last few years. If these various projects had piled up in front of your people, and in other words, various organizations were praising the not merely the philanthropic potential, but the philanthropic willingness of the community. If they'd all been added up, there's no question what a staff would have said. It's impossible. These people are not going to be willing to do this. So we'll pick out the ones that we like best. And I don't want anybody telling me that sort of thing.
I guess I have to disagree. I don't think that that's what the State Arts Board would do. It seems to me that what we said instead of that would be not that this is impossible, but that looking at your funding proposals over a period of time, we don't think it's realistic to assume that you can raise $20 million or $30 million or $40 million in 6 years, that we ought to be talking about the whole entire system in a longer term with public bonds and talk about a 30-year system to pay off these bonds or a 20-year system rather than the $49 million that was taken out in 6 years. And I guess I see that as a State Arts Board role in looking at how those things could be funded with public monies rather than, and I think that would be the role, because it caused significant difficulties in between 1970 and 75 to arts organizations in the Twin Cities. Several of them ran deficits. And they did have trouble retiring those, and are still having trouble retiring those debts right now.
That's their problem. That's their problem. I don't think that it's up to the...
It affects everybody, though. It's everybody's problem.
You step into these things, you put yourself in difficulty, and then you get out of it. And nothing like difficulty to generate activity. And that ought to be part of the obligation of this kind of nonprofit organization, in a sense. As I've said many times, they always ought to be in financial trouble. That's what makes them work hard. That's what makes volunteerism to work in American society. You and I agree this time, Phil?
I think I'm on your side of this, yeah.
I have a question. With respect to the recommendation, the Part B, and the middle paragraph recommendation to the Part B, public sector matching grants on a proportional basis consistent with a recognized public sector share support. Is it the contemplation that those are not capital grants, specifically not capital grants?
No, I think the concept originally was just the reverse. That would be one possible area that the might be recommended as support, as an incentive to participate in the process. But that would be over and above what the organizations now get. Should the State Arts Board recommend, for example, that a particular project seem to be particularly worthy of support, that one way the state could support it would be by authorization of the State Arts Board to make a matching grant if that particular organization raised X $1,000 or $100,000 or whatever, that so much money would be available, new money, outside system money, that so much money would be available to the organization by the State Arts Board.
So the second part is consistent with the first part. Obviously, public bonding would obviously be for the facilities, and the second part would be grants of a capital nature.
Okay. That's really new in the arts, but is it new in the arts and humanities, historical societies and libraries, and like getting public funding often for facilities?
Is there further discussion of this recommendation too?
Incidentally, this was a favorite project of the Bush Foundation for years. So I've argued this with him many times, he's Mark. And I just think it would be unfortunate for us to say anything like this.
What about the rest of you?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any great wisdom about these things, but I just feel in my bones that Mr. Bean and Mr. Dayton are probably right about the way that the real world is going to work.
One, two, three.
Okay, we had a very thorough discussion of this at the last meeting. It's unfortunate you weren't here. And Mr. Crosby, I believe, made the motion. I believe Mr. Driscoll seconded it. And at the time, it was emphasized that this would be strictly a voluntary procedure. There wouldn't be anything mandatory about it. And that is pointed out in the minutes. And I think that is important, to recognize it is a voluntary procedure, not mandatory. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. And point out that because Mr. Crosby and Mr. Driscoll are not here at this point, I would certainly be opposed to any reconsideration of this at this time. I believe there are probably fewer commission members here now than there were at the last meeting when it was approved. And so I would be opposed to any reconsideration of it at this time.
I would just add, I don't think anybody should be fooled by the adjective voluntary. Because because these things have a way of closing in on the people who are subject to the so-called voluntary investigation.
You might say that if something is truly voluntary, there's no reason to write a statute about it. It can happen. Okay. You don't have to provide for it.
Seems to me that there's a major distinction, however, between what we talked about before and what we have here, which is better than it was before. And that is that there are distinctly positive incentives for doing it, which, when added to the voluntariness, it seems to me detract somewhat from the negative aspects of the thing. As I understood it before, it was to be quite a different concept, and if you did not get a positive recommendation, you would not ever be considered for any operating grants in the future. Now it seems to me that if you come and get a positive recommendation, you will be considered for a positive grant, which I think is quite distinct, at least from the way I understood it before, and makes it a more favorable kind of thing. However, I know what you're saying, and I recognize that to a great degree you're correct. If, however, you could just simply decide that you were not going to get the positive recommendation, and you would not be hurt by not applying for it, then I don't think it would have an adverse effect.
If you leave this in terms of saying that it would be possible for the private nonprofit organization to apply for a grant, and in applying it would have to justify what it was doing, whether it was a capital grant or a program grant, I see no objection to that at all. But it's a very different thing to say that we expect every organization, which I don't know what substantial is, but we expect every organization that is going to the general public for substantial funds to appear before this investigative agency and justify what it wants to do, not merely whether it serves a purpose in itself, but whether that purpose meshes with all the other programs which are extant or contemplated within the community. Now, this assumes that the wisdom centered in the State Arts Council can really measure, I say, the philanthropic tendencies of a community at any given period of time or over a period of time. And I say that's important. There is no statistical basis for it at all.
But a few individuals with an organization have the ability to make that decision themselves.
As to what?
As to going out and raising the money or selling the community on the project.
Sure.
It would seem to me that those same individuals would have the ability to sell, if you will, this review board on if they chose to do so on a voluntary basis, they'd probably be able to sell them on the same thing.
Yeah, but that's a different thing. You're saying I have to appear now.
No, we're not.
Well, don't be fooled by the word voluntary. Because after this thing has been put in place for a few years, voluntary is going to slip out or nobody will read it. Everybody will have to come there before this investigating body. They won't dare not come.
Question is whether they should.
Yeah.
And I think the premise behind this was that if you want to have a very homely analogy, let's suppose it's a water hole and the water hole is drying up. And whether the biggest and the strongest should be making the decision to, and because they're the biggest and the strongest and the most successful, and therefore most able to launch a fund drive and pull it off, that they would in that fashion be in the process making it always difficult, always more difficult for the smaller, the less successful, the less well-known to get established and get building. This would be a way that there would be some sort of pressure that could be exerted to equal out the system. Now, I understand the counter argument, which is that the basic premise has always been a free enterprise, a totally uninhibited free enterprise system, and that no organization can launch a fund drive until it's big and strong enough to pull it off. Well, they can try it, but it won't succeed. And this represents an attempt, a statement that the dollars will be scarce for the foreseeable future, and secondly, that there ought to be some sort of public policy which allows the others more of a chance. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be necessarily the result of it. I recognize the criticism of it, but I think we at least should be aware that that's one of the major considerations for it. Anne.
I just wanted to note that, again, I think the commission is playing God, and I think we may be overstepping our charge. I think the strongest we should do in this is to recommend that anybody who seeks to undertake a capital or endowment fund drive, that they read the horrifying statistics, and if that deters them, fine. If it doesn't, fine. But I really don't think we can go beyond that.
But aren't those statistics just based over a certain period of time we're going to make judgments on into the future on that? I have a real dilemma here. One, I can understand the statistics over the last 5 years and see what's happened, and maybe, in fact, that did hurt arts organizations. On the other hand, legislation, or when the private sector has to come before a legislative body to review what it wants to do, I just abhor that kind of thing. It's just, I guess I would agree with Anne there. I don't know if it's true that they should read the statistics and weep, but I can't see this kind of review process.
Steve. I return to what I said earlier. I think that the premise here is that the voluntary donor is not in control of his own motivations.
That's right. That's not right.
That's a first premise. I think if the commission makes that statement, we really are playing God.
And that's
the second thing, however. I sense that there's something written between the lines here that hasn't been put on the table. And I think maybe what you're worried about is organizations which will commit themselves to an expenditure will make that expenditure before the money to cover it has been raised, may fail in raising the rest of the money, and then the burden goes on the public and the private sectors, and which may or may not affect the whole system. That's another kettle of fish. If that's what we're dealing with, then this language has to be substantially altered.
It smacks Dome Stadiums.
No, that's not the case. I think that's another issue altogether. And that addresses there are two problems involved. One is the responsibility of the trustees of an organization that would make that kind of commitment. Either that, or their crystal ball wasn't as good as somebody else's crystal ball. The other issue, I think, is if there is a matter of regulating charitable efforts in the state of Minnesota, an effort should be made to amend the Charities Registration Act so it's got greater regulatory powers. I wouldn't put this kind of regulatory power in the hands of an arts agency. This agency is the agency that you're suggesting to handle it is convened and created to deal with the support of the creative activities in the state of Minnesota and to seek to facilitate access to those creative activities. I think we're into a whole new area that is, the implications of it are far broader than have, I think, been explored by this commission.
You're jeopardizing the real charge of the state arts board.
I think it could totally consume the state arts board. Because I agree with Atherton, I don't think there's any such thing as voluntary. Once it becomes useful in a psychological sense, not so much a financial sense, but psychological sense, to get the stamp of approval, everybody's going to feel that they're obliged to do it.
I'd like to have one other additional comment. The assumption is that the flow of funds to art activities is a sort of segregated part of American life. It is not. The flow of funds is philanthropic flow. And art chisels out some at this time, and health chisels out some, and I don't know whether the word chiseled is a good one. The education gets some of it and so forth. And the way in which this flow is divided is constantly changing. And for the State Arts Council to say it knows exactly how much is going to go to the arts, I say, punk. You're never going to know that. Pardon my French.
Mr. Derenberger. I just want to say I support the concept. I didn't support some of the early language because it spoke of certificate of need, which smacked of yes or no, you can or you can't. Also, there was some implication that state or other public funding would not be available if somebody went ahead against an adverse comment. And I guess I always felt that if someone like Atherton Bean can prove the process wrong and raise the money anyway and deliver the needed service, that the state ought to be smart enough to recognize that maybe it made a mistake in its comment or something like that, and it ought to be able to fund the project. Practically the reason that I favor the recommendation is that practically every private contributor, meaning not individual but corporate and foundation giver that I have talked to, has recommended a process of some kind like this. Now, whether it's the State Arts Board or what it is not important. I think the only place in the state we don't have this process now is in Minneapolis. Ramsey County Arts and Science Council performs this function in the city of St. Paul.
Not for capital grants.
Well, I don't know who's built a capital facility in St. Paul without permission of the Ramsey County Arts and Science Council. And I think the same thing is true of many other areas of the state.
They got themselves in very considerable trouble trying to manage Capitol Drive and so forth.
And we,
am I right?
We got out of line, let's put it that way.
Anyway, all this does, at least on my part, is reflect a concern for many private
people. A different question, which can be addressed outside the context of this particular issue, outside of a regulatory system. You're imposing a massive philosophical and administrative concept on something that can be dealt with in an administrative capacity. You could recommend setting up a technical assistance consultation service at the state level or at the State Department of Economic Development or at the State Arts Board, whatever, to deal with that issue. But I don't think, you know, that's strong enough, that's a strong enough argument to create this structure. I think it can be dealt with very cleanly, and it's a very important need.
Now, we appear to have a rather strong division.
That's right. Can I ask whether anything like this has been imposed on private educational philanthropy? Does college have to go and get a certificate of need somewhere before it sets out to raise some capital money?
Only hospitals state planning agency, that's right.
I think maybe colleges do too much.
Well, for bonding authority, yeah. Higher Education Coordinating Commission for bonding authority, but not.
There you're talking about public.
That's right. I'm not aware of any private thing.
Let me ask Atherton a question. Atherton, you said something a few minutes ago that you would not oppose to, and you didn't use voluntarily in the sense that it's here, but you used some sort of voluntary concept that you would not be opposed to.
Well, to saying that if the State Arts Board gets funds which are for capital purposes,
that's what I thought you were.
Then certainly anybody who wants part of them should have to apply for them and justify it on an individual project basis. I don't think that's no different from what anybody does right now.
Business as usual.
Program grant. Yeah. I have no objection to that.
But you would have no objection to it on a capital basis, and you would have no objection to administering that.
If a grant category is created for capital grants, we would have a review process which would assess the validity of the project.
Sure.
as we do with a program grant.
You'd have it, which would cover both the need, the design, and the cost.
Exactly. I mean, if, you know...
Well, sure, that's no problem.
That's what it is, huh?
That's business as usual.
We have a basis for agreement with this approach, then.
Yeah, but that's a completely different...
I'm not sure that they're totally different. That we recognize that at the moment, the system does not look like it's generating great new sums of money. We are concerned that none of these projects, and this is really our only concern, end up on the public dole. It's one thing for the public to have made the decision today or next year or whatever as to how much monies it's going to give for the support of arts organizations, generally for program support, for operating support, or whatever. But it wants to see possibly some vehicle where it can be protected in the private decision-making process from something coming which is going to then end up being on the public dole without the public having made any part in that initial decision. One way might be that there be a vehicle created, and this would be a decision for the legislature, that the State Arts Board be authorized to make grants of a capital nature to organizations which applied for the same and in the process went through this review procedure with the State Arts Board. Now that leaves it up to an organization as to whether it wants to get itself involved in the State Arts Board at all, whether it thinks that money is worth the effort, whether it can fund itself without it and doesn't wish to participate for any of a variety of reasons. On the other hand, it creates a potential incentive to participate in that, and to the extent that that incentive is there, it helps, again, use public monies to help focus in the direction of avoiding problems for the public in the future. Now, is there any agreement for that, which is a much more modified approach?
It's completely different.
But does that
start all over again, right?
I don't object to that, but I'd like to know whether there's agreement, whether it's worth the effort to try that or not.
Is that in lieu of what we have now?
That's in lieu of. Would you be happier with that being drafted as an alternative, and that this recommendation be considered as an alternative, and that we reconsider this matter at the next meeting of the commission with two separate approaches available to us?
Well, I think it's perfectly appropriate what Andy said. I mean, this having been discussed at a meeting that I wasn't at, and but where it was strongly supported by some people, they ought to have a shot at trying to put one project or the other. I'd like to toss in one other little bit of information in terms of who drains off funds. Do you know how much money the Mayo Clinic has raised in the last 4 years? $90 million. Now, did that hurt the art world in the state? But the art world's been doing pretty well.
A lot of that came from the country, too.
May I make something or get something clear in my own mind? The several pages that are called the major findings and recommendations include recommendation 2, which is consistent with what the commission adopted at the last meeting. There is also a separate page called recommendation 2, which has never been approved or considered and is slightly different. And now you want a third recommendation, as I understand it, that and this one will talk about a capital granting program through the State Arts Board.
I guess what we're saying is that we'd like to have this whole thing discussed at the next meeting when there's better representation, perhaps, because it really is a terribly complicated and controversial issue. And I hear a great many of the things you're saying, and some of them weren't brought out at the last meeting. And what you're saying brings some of my sympathy anyway.
I would
like to have a fuller discussion, perhaps, at the next commission meeting with this as one of the items on the agenda.
I'd like
if possible, to keep narrowing the parameters so that we're not operating for the next 6 months or more. So, if I have your concurrence, what I'd like to suggest is, first of all, to determine whether there is substantial support for the minimum program, with the decision to consider the alternative, which is before you, the more detailed program at the next meeting. My question to you all is, do you agree with the purely voluntary approach outlined by Mr. Bean, Mr. Sell, Mr. Warwick, myself, in the form of expanded authority of the State Arts Board to make grants for capital programs, in the process going through the review procedure as discussed by Mr. Warwick, and that the expansion of the State Arts Board to have that type of authority, purely voluntary, only those organizations which wanted to participate would participate by making a grant application, allow that type of public input into the process. Now that is a separate.
But is that contingent upon the state funds being made available for
absolutely
endowment purposes? In other words, it wouldn't come out capital of operation capital.
No, that would be
an additional appropriation.
That would be additional appropriation or authorization. In other words, even if we recommend it, there would have to be a legislative authority for it. I don't believe there's authority at the moment to make that type of grant.
No, there's no legislative.
Steve, I would have to ask whether or not this particular hypothesis has a sufficient database behind it that we could make a credible recommendation. I mean, this is the first time this hypothesis has been proposed.
Which hypothesis?
The hypothesis of making capital grants from the state treasury. If that has been anticipated in the data collection, we might be able to come up with a recommendation in this short lead time. But we're going to legislature with some numbers, and you say, where'd you get those numbers?
Well, the data shows that 95-something% of the capital comes from private, and the rest comes from federal grants of one kind or another, or maybe some local money. Well, from that approach, no, there's no data. But I suppose you could take the rest of the data on operating contributions and say that to the extent you relieve the private sector the obligation to make capital grants, they may put more into the operating side.
Which isn't.
I don't know who we're going to sell on state grants for capital construction.
Yeah, I guess
I don't know that it's going to.
Going
to happen or occur, and I think the only question is, and the legislature does not have to buy every recommendation of this commission. I think the commission has the one advantage that it has the spotlight on arts policy in this state, and is in the position to make recommendations which it in good faith believes will help long-range arts development, irrespective of whether that's going to be approved in year one or not. The real question to me is, should there be some sort of vehicle to encourage this decision-making process? And the question is, should we have is there a consensus to a recommendation that the authority of the State Arts Board be broadened for this purpose, and authorization to ask for, doesn't really require authorization, but that it, in within its scope of charge, it be empowered to suggest the legislature that type of funding for that purpose.
Any other show of hands?
I guess the feeling is we should have a show of hands on that. That is the minimum proposal of the 100% voluntary. All those in favor? Opposed?
This is strictly on the
voluntary.
I didn't vote. I'm a little lost in what I'm voting on. Sorry.
You want to repeat?
Would you clarify exactly what I'm supposed to vote on? I'm somewhat confused.
I'm sorry, Steve.
The vote was on a voluntary system whereby the State Arts Board could make grants of a capital nature to an organization after having gone through the review process.
Capital grants to the organization.
Okay, I understand.
I'd be opposed to that.
I want to be recorded as not voting. I just don't know. I haven't thought about this.
It's probably a moot point anyway.
It seems to be there. We have enough of a commission present that I think any recommendation on this subject is going to be very difficult to attain agreement on. I think in deference to Mr. Andrews' earlier comment that we ought to formally consider this again at the next meeting, but there appears to be a fairly substantial majority of the commission which are opposed to a recommendation in this area. All right, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be only fair to the ones that were here at the last meeting when we recommended, when we made the decision on this recommendation, that they be present and that we reconsider this particular recommendation and talk it over again at the next meeting. In the meantime, we can do some homework on it and think about it and feel the situation out, so to speak.
Very good. That's the consensus, I gather, of the commission that we reconsider the matter, but there is a vote at the moment opposing that type of resolution.
Well, only for the capital funds, I think.
And the capital funding.
And the capital funding from the State Arts Board, I think that's what we were voting on. Okay.
Correction.
That's what I was voting on.
All right, and not the the issue of whether we have a recommendation.
Not the voluntary part of it. I was voting against it because of the capital fund, capital funding.
All right. Resolution is that there's no capital funding authorization. We do not make any recommendations regarding capital funding authorizations.
However, you know, that could be put in the if manner. In other words, if the legislature should see fit to have capital funding, then there should be some evaluation of it. I say that because I see this thing maybe going down. I'm trying to save what you gentlemen are trying to get after. I think at the next meeting this one's going to go. There's a good shot that it's going to fall out completely.
I guess I want to think about it. I really do. I think it's a terribly important question, and part of my reason for voting against it is I think the question is moot. I just cannot conceive of the legislature granting funds for capital expenditures by arts organizations. Now maybe
currently the depot in Duluth gets money from the Minnesota Historical Society through the Resources Commission. That's money appropriated by the state legislature to the Resources Commission through the Historical Society to the depot. That's where 4.5% of that 4.5% public funds is.
That's that capital money?
That's capital money.
Yeah, but that's a very neat situation.
It's a historical preservation project.
Oh. Partly.
Steve, you had a question?
Yeah.
How about this capital money?
Consistent with what Gene Warlick has just said, I think there is a reverse danger here, and that is by addressing the issue of capital funds at this time, in this political climate, if the commission is on record in 1976 of opposing the concept of state treasury funding capital drives of either endowment or building nature, we may foreclose a possibility in the future under different political circumstances. I would suggest that we be extremely cautious because the concept in the long run is not one that we ought to reject out of hand. I think we're dealing here in a situation where we've had a minimum amount of data, a minimum amount of discussion, and we may by broadly eliminating the consideration and putting it on record that we oppose the state funding capital drive, I think we back into a negative position. I would prefer to see us simply not discuss the issue of capital funding in 1976 because the climate simply isn't appropriate, and that some policy-making group in the future, 2 years or 3 years from now, may see an opportunity to open the question for the first time at the state level.
I think your point is well taken. We are obviously running simultaneously two decision-making processes. One is our regular meeting of the commission, and we have minutes, and we obviously have a
a responsibility to maintain a public record of that. The second is adopting findings and recommendations in the final report. And I understand at the sense of the commission, we do not have to address this question. We have, however, addressed and voted on the issue in this particular meeting as to whether we are going to incorporate in the report a statement on that, and the answer is no. I think our minutes will reflect that we decided not to address the question of a capital funding authorization to the State Arts Board in the final report. The final report need not discuss that matter. All right. We have waded through recommendation two. I'm going to be exercise the prerogatives of the chair to declare about a 3-minute recess, and we'll reconvene to try and fight our way through another part, section of the report. Banner supports the arts organization. Earned income 49%, organizational support 8.1%, private sector support 25.8%, public sector support 17.1%. These figures have been discussed at great length in other commission meetings. I think what I'm mainly concerned with is there any error or confusion in some of that language? Yeah. And
on B, I think there's an unfortunate implication that earned income has risen only because support has declined in the private sector. In other words, I don't think it's a cause and effect. I think it's a positive that earned income has risen, and that's always a goal.
I think Jimmy can answer that, I was going to say.
To a certain extent, the language is misleading. Earned income has risen over the past 4 years. Yes, indeed, in dollars, constant dollars, actual dollars, and all other kinds of dollars, earned income has risen in the past 4 years. The reason it's risen as a percentage of total income from 45-point-some% to 49% in the 69-72-75 period is because private sector support hasn't kept up with the increases that have been apparent in all other sectors of income.
Well, then it should say the percentage.
It should in fact say the percentage.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. It sounds, you know, for this, if people decided to sell tickets because they aren't.
So if I put earned income as a percentage of total income has risen over the past few years, that will do it? Okay.
In proportion.
Yeah.
Now, what about the largely because of the declining percentage?
That isn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Earned income as a percentage of total income has risen over the past few years, largely because of the declining percentage of support coming from the private sector.
Is the latter also true?
Why do you have to mention
but
that?
The implication was that the potential for a greater earned income was always there, and until you chopped it off,
the statistician
forced him into it. I know what you're saying. It's a statistical.
I don't.
Yes. Why can't we say earned income has risen over the past few years in actual constant or whatever it is dollars, period, and then if necessary add however as a percentage of whatever this has been largely due to a decline in percentage of private support.
Hmm. Steve,
I'd just like to suggest another way of going at it, that earned income in real dollars has increased and private sector income, contributed income, has also increased. But the relationship between the two is changing, whereby to the effect that
what you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Earned income now represents a larger percentage than it did before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what you're
exactly
saying.
What
that can be very positive.
That's a
very positive
statement. I think that's accurate. Yeah. All right, so we're going to revise this to say,
are we on to perhaps another? What is the meaning of under C, the percentage of income coming from dollars that's been declining? We'll probably not be able to maintain the 8% level. Oh, that's 8% of the total income.
Operating
income,
right?
Right.
Income
of
well, there again, I 8% sounds like a return on endowment.
6% is the average return on endowment. But that 6% totaled in 1975, 8% of all operating income.
I understand that. I think you're going to find people a little confused as to whether you're talking about percentage, the income as a percentage of total income or the rate of income on the endowment itself. They're so close. The percentages are so close.
Right. I understand what you're saying.
All right, Steve.
Let's go back up to the beginning. Even though we've discussed this at some length, I think it has remained in a misleading way. The very first sentence under 8, in 1975, the pattern of support for arts organizations, operating income was, and so on. This gives the impression that all arts organizations operate according to this pattern. I think it's important to make the distinction. First of all, that this is the aggregate of the industry that was studied. And that the same footnote that we put in an earlier section should be put in here to recognize the difference between organizations which are which have a high potential for earned income and organizations that don't. Performing arts organizations traditionally earn a higher percentage of their budget than the visual arts organizations. And we've got to recognize that. Otherwise, you're going to expect the museums to earn 49% of their whole income, and that is not fair.
All right.
There's been a new section of the trend study that does study that area, and I'll mark this in the finding with a footnote.
That's going to be a long way from that's going to be a long way into the report after most people stop reading.
Yeah.
That's
so you
point.
Should qualify it here.
Yeah.
All right. So the suggestion changes on this page 6 are as the first sentence. Some qualifying language as to the aggregate of the industry studied, with the footnote as to the breakdown between visual arts and performing arts organizations and the percentages for each. With regard to earned
income. Excuse me, can we get the percentages for each, Jimmy?
What?
Earned income? We have the earned income.
No, earned income. Or earned income percentages. I was just saying the whole percentages. I was just wondering which one. Okay.
Earned income percentage. Because that's the critical figure. B is revised, as we've discussed, earned income has increased in real dollars, private sector income has increased in real dollars, the ratio and the percentage between them has declined. C, we're going to clarify the 8%. Question mark.
The language, the ratio between them has declined. I don't think that the relationship between them has changed.
Right.
So that earned income represents a higher percentage than in past years.
Paragraph D. Public sector support has increased as a percentage since 1969, largely because of an infusion of funds to the national endowment. This boom is leveling off, and national endowment funds will probably keep pace with inflation.
You think the word boom is really appropriate to our commission?
Yeah.
How about funding or something? How about the word funding?
Boom is
yeah.
Just snappy there.
In 1975, 55% of all public support came from municipal county governments. By 1970, it should decrease. 40% since the bulk, 90% of local support is Hampton, Ramsey counties, and their support is expected to grow only to meet inflation. Again, those are figures that we have discussed and rediscussed in previous commission meetings.
Do we have evidence that endowment funds will probably only keep pace?
Yes. We discussed that in previous meetings. The basis of that is the Office of Management and Budget, which is the Federal Administrative Budget Office, and the Congressional Budget Office, each have given us projections as to what they'd anticipated was going to be and the variations between them. The data, when broken down, indicates and in fact, the political realities of this current session confirm
that the National Endowment, having gone through a period of growth, is going to be in it for the next few years in a period of fighting to get an inflation factor growth on it, but not a quantum jump above that. Now, that's the best analysis we've got from what's going to happen in Washington, and that's so stated in the report as the basis for it.
And I believe it's also assumptions made by the State Arts Board in projecting its budget out to the 1978-79 biennium.
We've alluded to it, but not as strongly as this.
From the memorandum that I saw, they asked you to make a clarification about their your projections, your expectations, and is that you're going to be your expectation of inflation increase? Okay.
All right. Any further questions on A, B, C, D? If not, may I have a motion approving those points?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Recommendation 3. This again has been discussed in detail and approved. I think this is a verbatim report of what was approved at the last commission meeting.
And the meeting before.
And the meeting before. This is the third round.
Are you trying to intimidate us from making it up?
Excuse me, Steve, just as a matter of words, what does the phrase organizational support mean?
That's earnings, that's generally and primarily earnings, like 90% earnings from the endowment. That's just the term the commission has adopted from the beginning, although it
that's
does include...
That's been on the page before, too. At the beginning, we're talking about organizational support. It says mostly money for endowments. Well, right under...
Okay. It does include corpus reductions and a small amount of parent subsidies that we weren't able to allocate. An organization that's associated, for instance, with a university that's primarily an arts organization.
Steve, do we want to make any footnote reference here now to this 55%, similar to the one that Steve Sell was referring to before, or would that have a tendency to have the visual arts organizations not strive for increased income, and thereby we should not put the footnote here?
55% is intended to be a system-wide figure and not
that's right.
A particular organization figure. And I think it would not hurt to clarify that. And we can give the breakdown on the what is the average in for a particular organization, industry, museum versus performing arts organization. In terms of earned income. Again, this is going to be the third time it occurs with this breakdown, so I assume at this stage it's going to be Steve.
But I don't want to discourage those with the lower from increasing it. That's why I hesitate a little bit of putting it in this place.
I see. All right.
In the parenthesis after 55%, the assumption, this assumes no endowment increases, no significant earned income increases. It could be misleading in terms of real dollars. I think what you're talking about is no significant increase in the percentage of the total industry income. Because the last thing a legislator wants to see is the fact that the system is has lost its steam. And they say, if the system has lost its steam, then we're not going to pump it up. I think you want to be very careful here about making sure that you're talking about percentages as part of the whole system, even in your parenthetical.
Mm-hmm. Well taken.
Okay.
And again, this whole issue that the minimum statement since earned income is probably stationary and private support is precarious. That is perhaps a pejorative parenthetical comment that might not be useful.
Okay, I think you got that would have been approved already, but that's
can't we just eliminate the parentheses?
Yeah,
All the parentheses, Andy?
Well, I would keep the parentheses after private sector support 25% because that shows for exactly the same reason that we should delete the others.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
I would eliminate that.
We are making an effort.
Organizational support, I would eliminate it. If you have to clarify it, do it with a footnote.
Okay.
But I would rather just leave it out completely.
Okay.
It's
Steve, you're shaking your head on that.
No, I'm shaking my head over something else.
Okay.
That's my general demeanor.
Despite the fact that we've approved the language, I like Steve's suggestion. I think that we should be stating facts rather than editorializing. We don't have to. There are plenty of places where we are supposed to be editorializing. This isn't one. I would say this is a minimum statement of need based on the assumption that earned income will be stationary and the private and special efforts will have to be maintained to keep private support at 25%, or words to that effect.
I thought that David's suggestion was to eliminate the parenthetical comment after 55% altogether, to keep the parenthetical statement after 25%.
Right.
And to eliminate the final parenthetical.
Oh, did we? Sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. All right. I like that even better.
It's easier.
You don't want to leave in this as a minimum statement of need?
I would think that the whole question of that this is only part of the universe that we addressed earlier should be restated here. Because again, we're talking about an examination of only part of the universe. We're not talking about the ancillary arts organization or anything. We don't want the people who read these bottom line numbers to think that this is the only need. But that should be stated more broadly.
Well, it says the future needs of the nonprofit arts industry.
That's where it should be clarified.
That's the statewide everything.
Because this gives the impression that this is all there is. And it isn't all there is. I think we dealt with that earlier, but you've got to deal with it again here.
Yeah, I guess since it's under the heading of nonprofit arts organizations. But, okay, that's fine.
You know, a lot of the readers aren't going to get beyond
right. This.
Are we ready for this recommendation 3?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Under point number 2, the $1.9 million in assessments, that sum does not include arts development funds for regional arts activities.
Such as? That's an addition to. We've defined it. That's a if you'll recall my memorandum, which is a part of the record, that $1.9 million is a system-wide need, and anything that the state wishes to see by way of public policy in addition is money that's required in addition to that.
Although the $1.9 does include a certain amount of funds for that type of
regional development, it says specifically.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
That wasn't, if you're talking in point B then about additional funds.
That's right.
For additional development than what already exists. Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry, this is for the support of nonprofit arts organizations.
Okay, I guess the way this was stated then, that was not.
All right, I think maybe it's the word additional. Be helpful. Any further questions? Ready for the motion?
So, Mr. Chairman, you're kind of getting in the area where I really disagree, and I don't want to argue further because we debated, talked about it quite at length. But I did write a full memo why I disagree with the rest of the commission on this, and I hope you might distribute that.
Yes, I was going to suggest that what I'd like to do on this point, since we do have. I think agreement of the commission with the exception of Mr. Duff, that we approve this recommendation. I would like the commissioners to take a copy of Mr. Duff's comments, which we have Xeroxed, and review it for the next meeting, and we will distribute copies to the commissioners who are not here. And what I'd like to do at that point is see if there is language which we can include either as a footnote or if there's not agreement with the commission by it, that we express it as your opinion at this point in the report. by any rate, I think we can decide at the next meeting how we'll handle that as a procedural matter, with the premise that the material does go out, and that we consider it as part of the next meeting as an amendment or additional language or in some fashion to this recommendation. I assume that's agreeable to you.
Fine.
All right. Is there a motion to approve recommendation 3?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Mr. Dove.
Mr. Chairman, may I just ask, is there any point at which the commission is going to address such things as items A, B, and C? The administrative costs or something?
Yeah, the artists and some of the development costs are on the next recommendations, too. The artists.
To answer you directly, there, David Durenberger has prepared a memorandum. Has that been distributed yet or not?
I don't think so. No, it hasn't.
On a couple of these points, and which we're going to try and refine and get to the members of the commission, and then we'll decide at the next meeting whether we're to, and we've not had a chance to also discuss this with the State Arts Board, regarding whether we should include any discussion of administrative costs or not. We've literally left that open because I think that's a point we've got to discuss with them before we do it. But we will discuss at the next meeting whether we're going to have any specific recommendation as to administrative expenses, or simply note that this figure does not include administrative expenses. And as a point of clarification, we discussed this at the last commission meeting. This was acceptable to Steve with the provision of paragraphs B and C being in there, which made that quite clear. All right. I believe we have previously discussed and approved what appear as finding 12 and recommendation 4. Are there any objections, corrections?
Move approval.
Move approval?
One.
Is there any, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. I would like, with your permission, to skip, if I may, what is page 10, private sector. I'd like you all to review it. Let us know if you have any problems with it. That does not include recommendations as yet. And I think we're going to have recommendations. And I'd like you to see it as a section. And my other reason for skipping is I want to leave a little time for what I think is a very important section of the report, specifically artists. And with your approval, we will go to page 11, artists. Now, you have two or three versions of this section and recommendation. The first represents the original draft from the Artist Needs Subcommittee, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. The second represents my attempt to elaborate on that. And the third represents the most recent version from at least the chair, or half the chair, of that subcommittee. I would suggest that the best point for our discussion is the last sheet, which is the most recent version and represents the thinking to date. And I think it does incorporate some of the language that I was interested in trying to insert, which was to, again, add something by way of case building for the recommendations.
I'd like to recommend here that we note that we're striking the first three pages there and note that the longest version, as rewritten by the chairman, which went out, as I understand it, unintentionally to a public hearing, be acknowledged as such, that this final redraft be the official version today. There are some points of discussion.
I understand we are discussing what is page 12 as the commission recommendations and not the earlier pages.
I mean, we're discussing the page,
the last page
that is redrafted by
Ann Payson, November 1, 1976.
The commission had recommended that our committee specify numbers of various categories of fellowships. Our feeling was that we were interested in recommending categories of support rather than minimum and maximum numbers. And I'll let Steve speak to this, but my feeling is I would rather we not have to specify five Minnesota fellowships, 15 project grants, etc. But Steve has thoughts on this.
I think it goes a bit beyond the competence of the commission to make what is essentially an internal budgetary decision. You decide to give X number of fellowships depending on what the size of your appropriation is. And there also may be, from year to year, a philosophical priority difference among the advisors that the Arts Board uses in terms of where they should be putting their money for individual artists. I don't think that it's, I mean, when a recommendation from a commission is made like this, it is, you know, in the absence of any substantive data, arbitrary at best. I would suggest that you leave the number of fellowships to the annual budgeting process. We have a statutory requirement of 5% of state appropriated money to be granted to individuals in any case. That's in the statute. And, you know, so that sets a base. My recommendation is that you talk about the philosophy and the categories and leave the budget to the annual process.
Doesn't that almost equally apply to the amount of the stipend also?
No, I think it's helpful here because it is based on extensive discussion with the affected people.
Yes, but in 3 years this isn't going to apply.
No, I think in 3 years it may have to be larger. But this is such a significantly higher amount than is currently available.
But then why not establish it as a minimum?
Yes, I think the concept, I think the two things have gotten somewhat garbled in the translation. I think the sense of the last commission meeting was to indicate some type of range or floor for the grant, to indicate the stature that we wanted to accord it, and not recognize, we saw two or three problems. One was that depending on the media involved, the costs of a production of the work of art could vary dramatically from close to zero in materials to an astronomical sum. Similarly, there is a problem, since this is to be available for on the basis of merit throughout the state, at least the area of people who are eligible was to be that, irrespective of their income stature, that you didn't want to, in some fashion, be implying that those who were above a certain income were excluded and it was intended just for those below it, or vice versa. And I think that was the concern that the commission had, and I think it was more to that than number of recipients. You are comfortable with this range of dollar amount as a, and are you comfortable with the concept of that being a minimum?
Yeah. As long as it's not specified, you've got to make 10 of them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because there may not be in any 1 year 10 qualified recipients. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's entirely possible that the board may choose not to award any in that category in any year.
No, precisely, and that was the whole concept of the decision-making process.
All right. What are we? Are we to insert the word minimum stipend?
I can see that for the first. How do we handle
what
the,
about
second
the second
one?
Well, I think that at? Would be up to.
I would leave it.
Up to $500. Leave out minimum of X number
right.
a year. The third is very difficult to determine.
I think we should just drop dollar amounts on that.
Yeah.
The dollars were only important for the recognizing that we were attempting to establish prices and to lend the imprimatur of the commission to dollar amounts so that the State Arts Board didn't have to go and argue that $5,000 was too much money for an artist. The fact that we can get that consensus established here, I think, takes that whole argument out of it. But I don't think we're in a position to evaluate three other than make a policy recommendation to do it.
We did have a fourth point, which was that while we recognize the tremendous need that artists have for various kinds of services, we expressed caution about developing new sources of services, encouraging existing sources. And I don't know if it's appropriate for us to put it in if it seems gratuitous, but the committee did feel very strongly about that. We wanted to at least acknowledge the fact we were aware of the needs, but felt that at this time it would be inappropriate to recommend the establishment of additional service organizations.
I guess the question I would raise is the same one that Steve raised earlier. Do you create a problem by stating something in the negative which later may be important, but to have that rejection come back to haunt you when the grant request goes in? I guess my instinct is to reflect in the minutes of this meeting discussion of the fact and not incorporate it in the official report itself.
That's I'm comfortable with it.
If that's satisfactory, Anne, will you just make sure we have an appropriate description of that? Very good. Is there other discussion of the needs of the artists' recommendations?
I move we approve it as amended.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Very good. We got through it with the exception of private sector foundations. We reconvene.